The man with the measuring line, the third vision. I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This third vision, even as the second, stands closely related to the first vision. The good and comfortable words, Zechariah chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, which were the answer of the Lord to the intercession of the angel of Jehovah on behalf of Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, have a double message for Israel. Jehovah is jealous for Jerusalem and is very sore displeased with the nations who are at ease and have helped forward the affliction of Israel. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Jehovah has returned to his house with mercies. My house shall be built, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 16. Notice against whom his displeasure is aroused, the nations who are at ease. This is another proof that these visions have their fulfillment in the 7 years of usurpation when the nations have achieved their overmastering ambition, and apparently brought in the millennium of peace and prosperity. But to continue as to the relation of the third vision to the first and the second visions, the man with the measuring rod figures the amplification and realistic stretching forth of the good words as to the enlargement of the land of Palestine and the city of Jerusalem when the Lord has returned to his people with mercies, after the work of the carpenters of the second vision has been finished. The man whom Zechariah sees in the third vision answered the prophet's question of whither goest thou? He says, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and the length thereof. Then the interpreting angel is seen going forward from the prophet by whose side he had been standing in the way of the measuring man. He appears to desire to ascertain the meaning of the symbolism that he might impart it to the prophet. He is met on the way by another angel who says to him, Run and speak to this young man and say, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, by reason of the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 4. The man with the measure in his hand represents the same man whom the prophet beholds in the first vision upon the red horse who was standing among the myrtles. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 8. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 11, he is identified as the angel of Jehovah, who is the angel of the covenant, the second person of the Godhead, the very same one who became flesh and tabernacled among us. But in the first vision he is found among the many sons that he has brought to glory, waiting to bring forth more and fuller results of his work of redemption, as we before noted in our explanation of that vision. There is no doubt a reference in Zechariah's third vision to Ezekiel's vision in Ezekiel chapter 40. He views a man with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, Ezekiel 40, verse 3. He was going forth on the same errand to measure Jerusalem, the earthly city, which is to be restored. We know this one, whose appearance is like that of brass, is none other than the angel of Jehovah. Hence, why is not he the same one shown in Zechariah? Both visions point to the same time and the same event. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. The young man mentioned in verse 4 is none other than the prophet himself. The angel, in attendance upon the man with the line, gives the message to the interpreting angel to communicate to Zechariah. It is all of a joyful character and has a twofold aspect. First, Jerusalem shall be restored and enlarged, extending far beyond the boundaries of its former dimensions. It must needs be so because of the multitude of men and cattle that will be a part of it. The word translated towns or villages in the Revised Version may also be designated plains and open country where there is nothing to prevent the inhabitants from spreading out. The same terms are used in Ezekiel 38 verse 11, describing a people dwelling in peace and prosperity without walls, bars, and gates. It is in contrast to walled cities. It denotes a condition of safety and confidence. There will be nothing to cause fear, is the thought. The former prophets all emphasize the same thing in reference to the marvelous increase of the people and the extent of the boundaries of the city and land after the restoration of the Jew. Isaiah is forceful and positive in his statements of the marvelous increase of the people. He says he hears the children of the restored land say, "The place is too straight for me. Give place, or make room, for me that I may dwell." Isaiah 49 verse 20. The limits of the city and the land shall be undefined and hence may be continually extended as the people multiply. Jerusalem shall resemble a succession of villages upon the open land. 2. But here is the best of all promises, even greater than the enlargement and prosperity promise. For I, saith Jehovah, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Here is the reason expressed most beautifully and comprehensively that Jerusalem will need no walls about her. It will be perfectly safe from all danger, for the Lord will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Isaiah 26 verse 1. But it is he himself, as he asserts later by Zechariah, that will be the wall of fire, a perfect defense to those within that inner circle, but destructive fire to those without. This promise has never been fulfilled. It is really an announcement of the visible presence of the Lord in the midst of his people, the Jews. The Shekinah glory will return to the city of Jerusalem. In fact, no doubt, the whole of Palestine will be covered with the cloud of glory by day and the pillar of fire by night. The heavenly host above, in the throne and round about the throne of the Lamb, Revelation 4:5, will no doubt be the protection to the earthly city and country. They will be above within the cloud, which will reach down and envelop the people on earth. Wondrous union will be manifested between the heavenly host and the city and its earthly counterpart. All Scripture teaches the visible revelation of the Lord of glory when all flesh shall see it together, Isaiah 40 verse 5. It will be the very same Jesus which was seen going away in a cloud that shall return with a cloud. He will establish God's rule over the earth and shall sit upon the throne of his father David, Luke 1 verse 32. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place, over the whole habitation of Mount Zion, and upon or over her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. Isaiah chapter 4 verse 5. Or as another translation says, over all the glory shall be as a canopy, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, for a covert from storm and from rain.